Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. With Southwest Florida's ongoing water woes, there are lots of people working to find ways to improve the water quality around here. One of those people is David Wolf. He's founder of a nonprofit called Ocean Habitats, Inc. that's creating and selling many artificial reefs that are generally installed underneath docks. The basic idea is to create safe habitats for filter feeders like oysters, as well as juvenile fish and crabs and other marine life to grow and thrive. We had him on the show last summer after his company installed hundreds of the mini reefs on Marco Island. But last week, he launched what's called the Thousand Reef Challenge on Fort Myers Beach. So we thought we'd get him back on the line to find out what it's all about and how his efforts have progressed. David Wolf, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate being here.
And if you would like to add your voice to our conversation, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and leave a comment or question there. Or on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So what is the Thousand Reef Challenge?
What we did was we're looking for corporate sponsors as well as private individuals to kind of donate to have large numbers of mini reefs placed, places like marinas. Kind of want to demonstrate when there's a lot of them in an area, you know, what they can do, kind of show the maximum benefit to an area with high density of units installed. And also just kind of bring awareness to if there is something that people can do behind their own property or they can donate to help with some of our, you know, water issues that we've been having for a long time, but, you know, especially last summer, I know it woke a lot of people up to some of the problems that we're facing.
You know, as a business owner, it's kind of probably weird, but you kind of had a perfect storm in terms of raising awareness for your product last year.
Definitely. It slowed sales for a while because people were trying to figure out what they wanted to do, but, yeah, definitely, you know, got in the forefront of everybody's mind that we have to start doing something. I grew up in Southwest Florida, and, you know, our water conditions are not what they were in the 1980s or 90s. It's gone downhill, and something has to happen now. We don't have, like, the 30, 40-year plan time window that we used to.
How many reefs have been installed, mini reefs, that is, toward that 1,000 reef challenge so far?
I already have over 80 donated for since Friday. We have several corporate sponsors getting ready to, I should say corporate sponsors, local companies there getting ready to donate to get us up to, you know, well over 100. So it's off to a great start. Currently in Alabama installing units. And actually sometime on Tuesday or Wednesday when we're in South Carolina, we'll be installing the 2,000 mini reef that we put in the water since we started this venture a couple of years ago.
So it's been a couple of years since the first one was installed. How are those early models holding up?
Just fine. They're full of life. A lot of the early people who installed call us to have additional units added. They've watched their grandchildren, you know, fishing and catching fish that they haven't seen behind their dock in some cases 20 years. We have units on Marco Island, actually, that I built in college in the 1990s. They're 23 years old now. We put new flotation on them and put them back to work, and they're still doing their job. And this is one case where the plastics in the water can be a positive benefit.
The
durability of the materials allows you to have decades and decades of positive impact coming out of using it.
That's sort of a strange irony there. Describe what they look like and what they're made of for people who haven't seen one.
It's kind of like a box about the size of a small coffee table. They're 3 feet long by 2 feet wide. 2 feet tall. You need about 21 inches of water under the dock to allow them to stay submerged all the time. They do float at the surface because they perform much, much better at the surface than sitting on the bottom. It's kind of a common question that we have. They're made out of polypropylene for the most part. For people who are dock owners who are familiar with it, it's the same plastic that dock pilings are wrapped with everywhere in the state to deter life from getting on it. However, our version of poly is extruded in a different way. It's actually very easy for animals to attach and to hang on to it because of its corrugation.
How much do they cost if a person wanted to buy one? And are there more than one model, or is it just the one?
We currently are only selling the mini reef for salt water. There is actually a fresh water version called the fish crib, which is useful along our coastline here. But the donation is $250. That includes the delivery and installation of the units, and a portion of it is tax deductible. You're essentially making a donation to a nonprofit, and you're receiving the movie back as a gift.
Okay, so that explains the nonprofit thing.
Yeah. You're helping us fulfill our mission to bring coastal waters to life by basically giving us the funding and a place to put the units in to perform their work.
If you're just tuning in, I'm talking with David Wolf. He's president and executive director of Ocean Habitats, Inc., a nonprofit that's trying to get people and businesses to install mini artificial reefs to help improve water quality by providing habitat for filter feeders and other small marine life. To make a comment or ask a question, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So how much water do these things filter?
The average for a unit is approximately 30,000 gallons per day. We tested hundreds of times to actually come up with that number, doing a containment system where we could actually measure how many gallons they were filtering in a 24-hour period. But for little creatures, they do a lot of work. They do it every single day of the year. It's how they eat and it's how they breathe. So, they don't stop. They keep doing it continuously.
So if you get 1,000 of these things installed, that would be a whole lot of water.
Yeah, 1,000 of these units would be filtering 30 million gallons of water every day. It'd be just shy of 12 billion gallons in a year, which is a lot of water. And of course, there's a lot of life that comes out of them as well. They produce, lots of fish and crabs and shrimp. So it's something like 300,000 fish and 200,000 crustaceans would come out of those 1,000 units as soon as they're all in the water and have a chance to get established and get growing.
We suffered through the two devastating, harmful algal blooms, the blue-green algae, in the river and estuary and lake and canals, and then the red tide offshore. If you had enough of these things installed all along the coast, both in the river and, out on the coast, do you think it would really make that much difference in terms of combating what we are facing?
Well, when you're talking about cities like Cape Coral, Florida, for instance, and you have hundreds of miles of canal systems, and you have tens of thousands of docks in the city, it can make a difference. I know Moat Marine Laboratories is actually studying the idea. They're kind of calling it the living dock. Dr. Tracy Fenara up there is kind of using our equipment to measure just what these animals can do against red tide. Yet there are certain species that grow on it that will actually eat cyanobacteria, that we're calling blue-green algae blooms. Can they eliminate it and make it a zero problem? That's unrealistic, but could they help mitigate what's going on behind people's homes in the canals? They definitely could help with that.
So I understand you guys are going to be marking World Oceans Day on June 8th. What do you have going?
We are. We are going to be hosting a fun party to celebrate doing some good for our coastal waters here at Millennial Brewing on June 8th. We're going to have a bunch of guest speakers. We're going to be announcing a lot of the corporate sponsors who came on board and helped put units in the water and give them recognition. We have a new website coming out called the One Reef Project .org. It's going to be tracking everything that we do, everything that's already in the water, everything we're doing with the 1,000 Reef Challenge. It'll be a way for people to see where reefs are, mini reefs are, how much water they're filtering, how many animals they're producing, get an idea of where we're working, and maybe if they see that we're not in their area, give them an opportunity to, participate with us.
So you say you're in Alabama right now installing some of these reefs. Where else, in the country have you been working?
We have reefs in Texas, along the Gulf Coast, except for Louisiana. We go as far north as Maryland along the East Coast. And our freshwater units are shipping off to places like Kentucky and Tennessee, Iowa, the Dakotas, a lot in the Midwest. So we're currently in 12 states, getting ready to add some more once UPS comes to pick them up. And we're also in the Bahamas. So we've had a lot of growth since the last time we spoke.
You came to, if memory serves, you kind of came to this, you started some research in college and then you had a different career track and now you've pivoted to this. As final thoughts, how does it feel doing what you're doing these days?
It feels really good. I got tired of sitting in a suit and, corporate settings in a meeting. I wanted to do something useful with my time besides just trying to make money. And it it feels real rewarding to see, like in Southwest Florida, you know, being able to help areas where I grew up, you know, places where I had friends when I was in high school. It's nice to try to make a positive difference in an area that's important to me. You know, I fell in love with the ocean and nature growing up in Southwest Florida after my family moved there from Chicago. And it feels good to be doing something about some of the problems that we're having.
Well, all right. That is all the time we have for this part of the show. I want to thank my guest. David Wolf is president and executive director of Ocean Habitats, Inc. He joined us from the side of the road in Alabama, I believe. David, thank you so much for taking some time with us today.
Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
And when we return, we're joined by the principal of the Lee Virtual School to get a preview of their first ever Micro Madness drone race that's happening later today in Cape Coral. I'm Mike Canary. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live.